Before we get started, I just wanted to say that Sydney experienced a terrorist attack on Sunday and it felt wrong to not say something. The sort of violence that we saw over the weekend has no place in our society, and my heart goes out to all those affected in the Sydney and Jewish community. Ordinary citizens, police officers, and emergency service workers should be recognised as the heroes that they are. It's easy to assign blame and direct hate, mourn and grieve without anger and retribution. When we come together as one, that's where the strength is in our community. Their goal is division, and we cannot and will not be divided by the selfish acts of cowards and pathetic men.
Flip, 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 Flip Weekly!
Hello and welcome to Flip Weekly, a podcast that comes out once a week every Thursday, which is all about flipping. Now, flipping is going to a thrift store, a garage sale, finding things on Facebook Marketplace for a low amount of money and reselling it for a high amount of money. Concept is very simple. My name is Matt. I am your host. This podcast this week, we're going to be going through, a lot. We're going to go through some Facebook Marketplace finds. We've gotten extremely lucky yet again. I don't know how this is happening. We have thrift store finds where it's just proof that you can still find things in thrift stores ultra cheap, worth hundreds of dollars. We have all that and more, including some giveaways. I say giveaways, it's a single giveaway. We're going to announce the winner of Thriftmas Week 2, which was for a 1995 Polly Pocket. We had a lot of entries coming in over Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube, and we're going to use online tool to find the winner of that. And then we're going to say what Week 3 is for Thriftmas. And I think Christmas is coming up, so this Thriftmas business will be ending. Would it be this episode? So this episode is the 18th of December. The next episode will come out on the 25th of December. Fuck, that's going to get some views, isn't it? So I think that would be it for Thriftmas, right? Like maybe we can do one more week and then it would, the prize would get to you, I guess, just before the new year. So it's not really Thriftmas then. I don't know. I'm going to have to decide if we're going to be doing one on the 25th. Look, this will be the last one unless I change my mind. So we're going to get through that. I'll tell you at the end. But yeah, I'll tell you at the end what the prize is going to be for this week. So we've had so far a $50 Vinny's gift card. We've had a factory sealed Polly Pocket. This week we're going to be having something that is relevant to the podcast in a way, but it's going to be something that you'll be able to give to somebody for Christmas or resell for a bit of money. We're going to do that, but look, we need to talk about my luck on Facebook Marketplace, because we're going to talk about what I bought for this week. And man, I don't know how I was able to get this. Okay, I'll tell you how I was able to get it. I was able to get it because a buddy of mine is, he's been off work and he was doing the whole let's look on Facebook Marketplace for things to resell. And he sent me through this link after maybe like 8 minutes of it being live. And I saw it and I was like, well, shit, we need to get this. What it was, man, I don't know how we were able to get it. What it was, Nintendo 64 games. Yes, we're going back into video games. Nintendo 64 games for $5 each. Now, these games weren't, a 3-hour drive. They're 20 minutes up the road, maybe even 15 minutes up the road. We got so lucky that they're just up the road, $5 per game, posted 8 minutes ago. I sent through the message. I saw one of the games and I knew that this was going to be a home run. And I thought, look, we're not going to pick and choose. We're going to send through a message and ask if we can buy them all. How many was there? I'm looking at the photo now. There's 13 games in total. I could see one game there that I knew was going to pay for all of it. You know, that's $65 for all of these games. And man, look, I'm just going to tell you, one of the games was Pokemon Stadium 2. It's that gold cartridge Pokemon game. It's a $200 game, right? And all these things are $5 each. So I see that. I'm like, well, look, shit, we have to get this. So I sent through a message. This was not late at night. It was maybe like 8:30, getting towards 9 o'clock because it was getting dark. Well, it was dark. And I sent through a message and I said to this woman, can I take them all? she replied back saying, you can. I'm like, this is too easy. What's the fucking catch? So she sent me through, her address, but that wasn't after a couple of minutes of just waiting for this reply, because I thought this is too good to be true. Someone else is going to come in, you know, all those things that come into your brain when you're waiting on a reply, waiting on a response for a good Facebook Marketplace deal. I'd like put on my going out clothes, like leaving the house clothes, and I'm waiting for the reply with the address, and it wasn't coming. And I was starting to think, well, I should probably put my keys and my wallet back. Nothing's going to happen, and I'm not responding to my friend saying like we've got the deal yet. And then she sent me through her address. I was like, all right, cool. I'm going to go out there. I called my friend up and I was like, how the fuck did this happen? And I'm like, I'm still sort of like in disbelief that this is even a thing. So I'm not going to say that we've got the games until they're in my hand. So I rock up at this lady's house, completely dark. I'm probably, you know, those murder thoughts, not so much in your head, but, you know, they're still there. And then at the same time, it's not like you're going out for a 10-carat gold fucking bracelet, right? Like, the only way you're going to get... We should probably talk about the ways you can get murdered on Marketplace. We should go through that one day. I think if you're going out to buy some sort of, like, gold bracelet or maybe even, like, an iPhone, I think people get murdered for iPhones these days, right? Is that a thing? I swear if I Googled person murdered for their iPhone, it would come up with something. Let's fucking do that. Person murdered for their iPhone Marketplace. In a tragic turn of events, a 29-year-old man was killed while trying to sell an iPhone in a Facebook Marketplace iPhone ambush. Yep, there you go. I knew it. Man, now that's going to be in my head. But this was just for Nintendo 64 games. And if you're going to murder somebody over Nintendo 64 games, then you don't charge $5 each, right? So get out there, tell the lady I'm here. I walk up. I can see her. She comes out. She's like, she's friendly. She's nice. She started to ask me some questions, though. She was like, obviously, she priced them too low. She had received 100 messages at least. She was inquisitive. She was like, what are you going to sell these? I said, I'm going to sell these. She said, are they worth any money? And I was like, look, some are, some aren't. Which is true. You know, there was the fucking Star Wars Speed Racer game in here, which is worth, what, like $20 with free shipping. So it's worth nothing. And, you know, she was asking me questions. So I asked her a question. I said, why did you choose to reply to me? And she said, well, somebody else wanted to come out like before me. Somebody got in first, but they were picking and choosing what they wanted. And she said she just wanted them all gone. So by saying that we wanted them all, that we would take them all, then that's the entire reason we got the deal. And look, when you're spending $5 per game, like if that was you that saw this listing and was picking and choosing, it's $5 a game. You're not going to lose money on any of this. Like if you really wanted to, you could take the low-end games, lot it up with a bundle. You could lot them together, or you could take them to like fucking the Gamesman somewhere in Sydney, like wherever the fuck the Gamesman is, Penhurst, is it? Take them to the Gamesman and exchange them for some credit and buy a fucking another game. You know, I've done that so many times with bundles of shit that I've gotten on garage sales and Facebook Marketplace, and they do good deals, and then you get some in-store credit and you can fucking get something cool. So I get all the games. $5. I tell her I'm going to sell some. I tell her that when I say sell some, I mean, I'm going to sell them all, but you don't really want to say to somebody that you're buying the games, like, I'm going to resell these for more money than you're selling them for. It's the truth, but you know, you don't need to be entirely truthful when you're picking these up. You don't know how the person's going to react. And it's not like I'm recording it either, so I can't use this person start screaming at me for content and get some views out of it. So anyway, I get it. I secure the goods. I tell my friend, well, it was true. It was fine. We got all the games, $5, $65 total. So I get it home, take a look at the games. They've done that thing where they write in permanent marker on top of the games. I don't understand why people did that. It like takes, what, 2 seconds to pull a game out and see what the title is. You're going to save like 3 seconds by writing on the top of it, almost ruining the case. But look, if you get Nintendo 64 cartridges and they have that writing on the top, there's two things you can do in terms of removing that pen. And I'm sure like seasoned resellers know this, but look, you can get that nail polish remover, get a Q-tip and rub it on it, and that gets rid of them. But the thing that I've been using lately, which has been working really, really well, it's this stuff called the pink stuff. It's like, it's basically gumption with good marketing, right? I just put that on the top of it with a cotton tip, with a Q-tip, and rub it, and it removes it really, really well. And I don't know why, I don't know what the mixture is, but it sort of feels a bit sandpapery, even though it's literally gumption, I think. And maybe it like fucking sandpapers the crap out of the top of it. That said, looking at the games afterwards, it doesn't look like it's like ruin them or damage them. It just removes the permanent marker. And at first, I wasn't going to do that. I thought, well, they're Nintendo 64 games. People are just going to buy them. But somebody messaged me on Marketplace, one of the games, and you know, on Marketplace, you can only have up to 10 photos. He asked to see like the back and the front, the condition, saw the pen, and he was like, oh, I don't want it now. And I'm like, you can remove it, you know? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, well, I could remove it too. I'm just a bit, you know, a bit fucking lazy. And he said the same thing. So I removed it myself, sent him a message, and he was like, well, I've got to come out and get it now, don't I? So look, you want to be removing that shit. I do have some of these listings up with the pen still there. I just, like I said, I'm too lazy to remove it, take photos again. I really should be doing that, especially for a high value cartridge like Pokemon Stadium 2. But look, here's the games. Here's the games, and I'll tell you their approximate values. So Pokemon Stadium 2, obviously really good game. That's about $200. We have the Star Wars Racer game. It's what? It's basically nothing. I don't even think I listed it up. Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2. That's a $60 game. There's Chopper Attack. I think that's like $20-$30. Carmageddon, $50. There's a FIFA game worth nothing. There's a 007, The World Is Not Enough. I didn't realize there was another 64 game, which wasn't GoldenEye. And that's like a $50 game. There's Duke Nukem 64. I think that's a $50 game. Perfect Dark, $50 game every single day of the week. There's Cruisin' USA, about $50. There's a WCW NWO game worth nothing. There's a couple others. There's a photo on the Flip Weekly newsletter that you can check out. But look, the games all added up to a listed total of about $750. So we spent $65, listed it up for $750. A couple of those games are already sold, which I'll go through later. But some of the games that are low value, I have added them to a console bundle that I picked up fucking couple of weeks back, which hasn't sold yet. So I added, I think it was three games to that bundle just to boost the numbers up. It's in somebody's cart right now, but they're not checking out, which is pissing me off. I would love that sale before Christmas time. If they're not going to buy it before Christmas, then they'll probably will wait until the new year. But yeah, that's what you do with these low value games, right? Well, it's what I do with console bundles. You usually like to have at least one good game in the bundle and then, you know, just like backload it with fucking shit games. That's usually what happens. Like if you go on eBay and you check out like console bundles, you're going to see the shittest games all paired together. Yeah, Pokemon Stadium 2 was the best of the lot. That's going to pay for all of them. You know, $65 is what we paid. Pokemon Stadium 2 was listed up for $200. So, I mean, it's easy money. We've already made our money back too. Like I said, my buddy sent me through this listing. We went in halves together, which is like $32 each or something. So we're halving all this shit. I started doing that a lot recently, just to help out, you know, get the friends in on the action. They can keep half the profits and I keep half the profits. It's a bit of fun. You can share the excitement with somebody else. And it also means that I'm not spending as much capital. I'm not outlaying more money, especially this time of year. You don't want to be spending too much money. I say that and I'm fucking doing how many weeks of Thriftmas giving away shit. Nobody else at Christmas time gets presents. Family won't be getting presents. They'll fucking all be going to listeners and readers. But yeah, really good deal on those 64 games. I don't know if you're going to be able to find or replicate that on Facebook Marketplace anytime soon. You know, $5 per game is not something you see every day. Maybe at a garage sale. If you're checking Marketplace all the time, who knows, maybe you'll get lucky. I've told you before what my marketplace strategy is. I told that to my friend and we've had success with it, so replicate that success if you want to, because yeah, you could be buying a $5 Pokemon Stadium 2, selling it for $200 on eBay, and you know that shit's gonna sell because it's Nintendo 64 and it's fucking Pokemon. Let's move away from Facebook Marketplace though, because we want to go over to Savers. We're gonna go to the thrift shop, the thrift superstore Savers. I was writing out the other day some of the things that I love about Savers. You know, I put out a video on Instagram and TikTok and YouTube, which was the fucking shit rap that we did on the podcast, what, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. It was sitting in my drafts for all that time because I was like, I do not want to put this out. It's so embarrassing. But I was writing out the things that I love about Savers, and I mean, there wasn't that many. I was scraping the bottom of the barrel, and it really came down to they make us money, right? That's what Savers do. They make us money. Let me just see what I've written down for some ideas on things that I love about Savers. If you have any, anything that you love about Savers, please send it through so I can get some ideas besides the fact that they make us a bit of money. I wrote down, this is all like very antisocial comments, by the way. No checkout staff. I like that there's no people at the registers. I mean, there usually is somebody there constantly asking cash or card, even though I'm already at the cash register paying. But I like that you don't really have to interact if you don't want to. I like that there's fresh stock every day. I wrote down self-checkout, so I think I must really like that idea because I've written that down twice. 20% discount for donating your old shit. Everyone likes that. They're big bags. They're Savers bags. I really, really like those bags. Man, this is a really shit list. What else have I written down here? Their entire store isn't organized based on color. Well, I think that's a bit of a lie, Matt, because some of the items on the edge of the shelves are based on color. So that might not be accurate. Open past 5 p.m. and on weekends. That's, yeah, I do like that. More than 20 square meters and then in brackets big. I remember when I did the Knopf's op shop run where I went to every Knopf's op shop. One of them in, it was near the city, was it? Maybe it was in Surrey Hills around that area. I went to it and it was legitimately the size of like my kitchen, and that's fucking small. There was barely anything in there. I'm like, I made this a trip to come here. So I do like that most of the Savers are big. What else have we got here? Locations near fast food. And then in brackets, I wrote down hypocrite, I guess. Yeah, I do like that they're near fast food. I also hate that they're near fast food. This isn't a finalized list, by the way. I'm just riffing on this draft. I wrote actual change rooms, not just a sheet. Not that I get change in a Savers, but I guess I like that. Aircon. Yes. Aircon. I love that. Although I hate it when they don't turn the aircon on on a hot day, because I know exactly where they are in the store and I can just go stand there, pretend that I'm looking at the fucking books or stickers. Just stare at the sticker sheets for 30 minutes trying to cool down. Okay. We got a bit sidetracked. we got a big sidetrack. Let's go back to Savers. So what did we find this week at Savers? Well, I'm looking at it now. I paid $5.99 for what looks like a giant-sized pill. It's a fucking flip clock. Now, it has four sections on this flip clock. It has... Wow. clock. It has the month, the date, and the day, as well as AM, PM, and then it has the analog clock. Now, whenever you find a flip clock, you need to be looking at it and you need to be like checking for markings in terms of brands. Because when I looked closely at the analog clock, I could see the name of this clock brand and it was called Carlson, Carlson. I don't know anything about this brand, but I check online, it's highly fucking sought after. This is a clock where I'm not kidding. If you got certain variations, like the newer variations that you know, instead of coming in a pill shape, come in like a rectangle shape. Oh my God. A rectangle shape. We have sold comps of this fucking clock for like $974. Not even kidding. And I, you know, you see that and you're like, this can't be right. So you check out some of the other ones, and that one was brand new for $974. There's one here that was used for $578. And there's one pre-owned on bid with 23 bids at $324. So this brand of clocks is popular and expensive. Two things that I really like. So I picked it up, I brought it home. I'll tell you what it comps out for in a second, but I needed to test to make sure that it worked. And this fucking thing was a pain in the ass. At first, I had it sat down in front of me and I set the time to, like, you know, 11:55. I wanted it to tick over the 12 so that I could see the date change, so I could tell that it works. I'm sitting down in my office and I'm doing a bit of work. I'm just waiting for the time. And, you know, I got distracted or whatever. And then I look back at the clock. I can see it's like 11:56. I'm like, okay, this is going slow. I thought I'd been here for more than fucking a minute. And then I keep looking back and it hasn't changed. I can see that the second hand of the clock is like overlapping with the minute hand. So it's not fucking going past. It's not working. No, not the second hand. The fucking minute hand and the hour hand. Yeah, they're like, one's bent a tiny bit, so then it can't go past 12 o'clock. So I've been fucking sitting here for 20 minutes waiting for the date to change, and it can't. It physically can't. So I take off the front plastic of this tube-shaped design, and I just, like, straighten it out a bit, you know? Very simple. Put the batteries back in, set it again, and now the analog clock works. However, when it goes past 12, when the date is supposed to change, or when I think it's supposed to change, it doesn't. So I'm manually winding the clock to see, will the date change? And it fucking changes at like 5 a.m. in the morning. So once you turn it to 5 a.m., that's when the date changes to like the next one. That's when the fucking, that's when everything changes at 5 a.m. in the morning. I thought, that can't be right. You know, that doesn't seem right. If you're, you know, if you're watching this clock on New Year's Eve and it goes 11:59, you're counting down 3, 2, 1. It's not going to change. You're going to have to wait till 5. It just doesn't seem right. So I did some research online, and it turns out that this is semi-normal for one of these older style clocks. Let me tell you why. So the mechanism in these clocks has a built-in delay. So it has like a release cycle, and the motor, it briefly whirs, like it like works during the hour. And that is what we call pre-tensioning. And then the date and the day flip together at approximately 5 a.m. rather than midnight. And from what I've saw online, this is like a common quirk on the older Carlson models. And it doesn't affect the accuracy. You know, the clock flips consistently at the same time every single day. From what I gathered, what I saw online, people that like this Brenner clock, the enthusiasts, the Carlson enthusiasts, they appreciate it because it's like a bit of charm for the, like, the early mechanical, like, driven flip clocks. So that's, it's a thing. It's a thing that it changes at 5 in the morning, and people appreciate that. I don't know why. I don't fucking know why. If you're using this in your bedside and, like, I mean, you can't use it as an alarm clock. It doesn't have that functionality. But people like, they're like, oh, how cute. It changes at 5 a.m. instead of midnight. I like that. I'd love to... No, actually, I would hate to meet the people that find this charming. I'd just find it fucking annoying. It's like it defeats the purpose of a clock, right? Clock. Fuck, I really need to enunciate. It defeats the purpose of a clock if it doesn't have the correct date and day on it. I feel like I'm taking a bit of crazy pills for people to say they appreciate it. You appreciate the fact that the clock doesn't work properly? Is that not fucking weird? Like, I have a clock that tells me the day, but it's wrong for 5 hours of the day. So it only works. It only works for what, like 7 hours of the day it's accurate? This is fucking weird, man. No, it would be more than 7 hours, but you get the point. It doesn't work. Technically it works, but at the same time, it seems fucking dumb. This seems fucking dumb. I almost got tears in my eyes thinking how fucking dumb this shit is. I got a clock that doesn't work. Clock. Fucking hell. I have a clock that doesn't work. Enunciate. Anyway, very rare here in Australia to find these things. There's only one listed up on eBay. It's the white variation of this specific one. It is listed up for $320. Currently has 14 people watching it. And, you know, I did the exact same, except the other people were charging for postage. I decided to do free postage because I'm very fucking generous. So I did $320 free postage. I can see it hasn't sold yet. It's only been up for long. And I can see it's in one person's cart. Another one of those scenarios where people add it to their cart. I didn't even know you could add things to your cart in eBay. I didn't know eBay had a cart. I just thought you bought shit, adding it to a cart. So yeah, there's not many within Australia. This certain design, besides this other white one, I can't find it anywhere else. So yeah, somebody might buy it. They'll be spending $320 on a clock that is working, but at the same time, I find a bit stupid. So yeah, $5 into $320. Proof that op shops and thrift stores are affordable and you can find cool shit there for less than $10. So I'm walking through Savers and I get to that exact spot I was telling you about before where the aircon is positioned. I know if you ever go into Savers, go into the second floor right where the folders and stuff are. The aircon is directly above you. On a very hot day, just stand there. That's what I do. I just go in there and I just stand. I just wait around for nothing to happen. I just stand there and cool down. So I was doing that. And sometimes you can find some cool shit in that area because it's surrounded by crafty stuff. I don't know if people look in there all the time, but I check it out because you never know what you can find. And I saw a CD wallet and I thought, well, I usually check to see if there's anything inside of them. Sometimes you can get lucky. I assume one day I'll open it up and it's full of like PlayStation 2 games or PlayStation 1 games or some rare CDs. Not that I'd know that they're rare, but I saw the CD wallet. I picked it up and I could see on the front of it, it had a barcode design and it had a name of a band. And the name of that band was Slipknot. Now, Slipknot is a heavy metal band. Heavy metal band that I knew of. I had friends in high school that loved Slipknot, but I think I loved my parents too much to like Slipknot. And I saw it. It was listed at $1.99 on the price tag. And I looked it up there and then. I did some comp research. All I could find on Google Lens was a whole bunch of like music stores that had this exact design, but it was all sold out. So it was like out of stock. That's usually a good thing. I like to see that. It means that it's no longer being sold or it was sold sort of recently. I mean, this is a 2003 CD wallet. But yeah, I couldn't find anything on eBay for this exact same CD wallet. But what I could find was one that was very similar, made by the exact same company, which is a company called BioWorld, made in the same year. And you would not believe some of the prices on these CD wallets. I mean, there's not many listed. Mine was like this cargo color. It had, the Slipknot branding on the front and on the spine. The like official name of it was like Barcode Slipknot because on one side of it has a giant blown up barcode design. But the ones that I saw on eBay was like red and black with the Slipknot logo in red. And I can see two that are listed on eBay. The first one, I mean, they're both in the US. The first one has 27 people watching it and it is listed up for $99.22. 27 people watching that. It's just a CD wallet. That's it. Holds CDs. The second one is listed up for $206. People are listing these things up for a lot of fucking money. Like $200 for a CD wallet in 2025. So I wanted to see just how popular this thing is. I jumped over to the Slipknot subreddit. Reddit.com, very popular websites, just like forums. Forums for fucking every category in the world. Or every interest in the world. I posted a photo the exact same photo that I have on the Flip Weekly newsletter. It's just the wallet in Savers with a $1.99 price tag. I said on Reddit that I found this, you know, what do you think? And it ended up getting close to 10,000 views, 300 upvotes, and a whole bunch of comments of people saying, I want this. So I was like, hell yeah. So I decided to list it up on eBay. I didn't aim for that $200 mark because that's a bit crazy. I aimed for a bit less. It did have a few markings on it. Might have been able to get them off if I was a bit more, whatever the opposite of lazy is. But I listed that up for $100 on eBay. That's $2 into $100 just for a CD wallet. Now, what's the moral of the story here? I guess it is if you find old band merchandise, you know, we have success with concert t-shirts. It goes over, it sort of molds over to band merchandise. I guess that makes sense, right? You know, this is 2003. This is 22 years old. That makes sense. It makes sense. I'm thinking before, like, this is unusual for something like this to be worth so much, but not really. I mean, if you found a Slipknot t-shirt from 2003, I'm sure you'd be selling it for the $200 mark. So to find the CD wallet, yeah, sure, $200. Go crazy, right? We'll see how we go. But in that exact same Savers, I found a couple of things. I posted on Instagram. I didn't pick them up. I posted them on Instagram so somebody else could go pick them up. But these are two things that I found there that were, you know, they were priced cheap, but I couldn't believe how much they're actually worth. The first one was an Uber Eats bag. You know, those insulated backpacks that people that deliver your food carry with them. They're like the fluoro color. They have the Uber Eats branding. I found one of those for $15. They sell on eBay for $120. I didn't buy it because I thought this would be a pain in the ass. I don't want to leave Savers with this thing. But if you ever find those insulated food delivery bags, they're worth a fucking shit ton of money. The other thing I found, oh, tell a lie, it wasn't in Savers, it was in a Vinnie's. I guess I'm telling you things I didn't buy in the what I bought section. But I found this Thomas and Friends My Thomas Story Library, which contained 65 of those really small Thomas and Friends books. It was $15. I saw that online, it sells for close to $200, $190. That's fucking crazy for a bunch of Thomas and Friends books. And look, we sell the Thomas and Friends DVDs. We've sold Thomas and Friends before, and I left it behind because I can't stand the fucking thing. I really, really can't. Thomas, to me, is just overhyped. It's one of those things where thrift stores think that they're worth money, so they bag them up and they price them high. You know, people that go to thrift stores and buy, you know, just toys and resell toys, always so excited to find fucking Thomas and Friends, but it's nothing. It's like, okay, granted this is worth close to $200, but it's not fucking exciting. It's just dumb, bullshit, boring, fucking, it's just boring, man. So I left it behind because I thought it was boring. That's a good way to make money, right? Leave behind the things that are worth close to $200 because you have like an issue with them. It's a bit dumb, right? Anyway, I'm sure somebody picked them up and listed them online and it's making a fucking shit ton of money. I put this anecdote in the Flip Weekly newsletter about why I eventually came to reconcile my hatred with Thomas and Friends, and it goes back to girl that I used to date years and years and years ago. I used an analogy about being invited over to her parents' place for dinner. If you want to read that shitty analogy, go on to flipweekly.com, check out the newsletter for this week. It's pretty fucking dumb. Let's just move on, right? Let's move away from fucking Thomas. Go back to things that I actually bought. And the next thing I bought was from Vinnie's, and it was this Crayola designer kit. I've never seen this before, but when I walked into Vinnie's and I saw the front of this, I could tell it was old because it had this little girl on it with like a haircut that just screamed probably 80s, right? They don't have these sort of, I was going to say like kid models. Is that, you know, those old toys and they all have kids on them. They're playing with the toys or they're playing with whatever the fuck the product is. They don't do that anymore, do they? I haven't bought a kid's toy like that in ages. I'm just thinking, like, when I buy toys for my niece, They don't have pictures of kids on the fucking packaging, do they? I'm drawing a blank. But anyway, this little girl, she looks like she's from the 80s. It was, yeah, Crayola designer kit for interiors. Now, this is what fucking kids had to, I guess, play with back in the 80s. They didn't have some of the cool shit we have now. But this is like, it's for kids that, I guess, like to draw, or kids, I mean, not even draw, kids who want to design a bedroom or design a house. Because what you get with this fucking thing, it's basically paper. You get like a protractor, ruler, you get like a mechanical pencil, and you use all that on this piece of paper with a board to design a room or to design like a kitchen or a bathroom. That's what it is. It seems really, it doesn't seem like fun. The kid on the box is smiling, but it doesn't look like fun. She's using a ruler and a protractor to design a room. I bought it. It was brand new and sealed. It's from 1983. And I was surprised at the comps for it. I really was, because the sell-through rate is over 200% for the brand new kits. And, you know, this was sealed. I'm looking at the comps, man. For something no kid would like to receive for Christmas time, this thing sells for a lot of money. We have no active listings for a brand new and sealed version. We have two sold listings. Therefore, $200 and $186. $198 and $186. So this old Crayola designer kit sells for about $200 and we paid $5 for it. You should honestly check out the photo of this product, because it just does not look like fun. Yes, like if kids are into using protractors and rulers, if that sounds like a fun night to you, then you would love this. But it looks like The Sims before computers existed. Like if you wanted to play like The Sims or simulate like building a house, you would get this, which is really depressing to think about, because The Sims is a great game. But yeah, you build your house with pens and pencils and rulers and protractors. How fun. So that was $5. We're going to go back over to Facebook Marketplace and look, I fucked up. Actually, you probably fucked up, because I did something that I really shouldn't have done. I think it was a couple, maybe 2 or 3 months ago. The podcast was alive then, and I said to you that you need to steal this category because I was sick of buying into it. Oh, man. It was fucking, I guess it's relevant. It was Polly Pocket. Again. I swear to God, I have the biggest collection of Polly Pocket in Australia. We have secured a vintage Polly Pocket bundle for $300, and it's going to piece out to thousands and thousands. Not even kidding, being 100% honest. I opened up Marketplace, I saw the listing, I saw it was hours old, and when I sent through like that first, "Hi, is this available?" I honestly thought I was going to get a reply saying it was like sold or it was pending, and I think I hoped for that too, because I really didn't want to deal with it. It's $300 just before Christmas time, and I knew I'd see a return on it, but it would be, you know, drawn out a bit. So I sent through that message a few minutes after sending it. I got a reply saying it's available. I'm thinking, well, fuck, what are you guys doing if you're not buying this Polly Pocket shit? How many times do I have to say you can make money with this stuff? It's $300 and there's like 21 individual listings there. Like, it's been up for hours. Why is nobody all over this? And I tried to talk myself out of it. I honestly tried to talk myself out of it. I was sending messages to a friend of mine saying, like, I found this thing and I don't really want to do it. I was even saying, like, look, they don't sell that quickly. They probably sell maybe one or two a week. I mean, that's still a lot of money, but I was trying to talk myself out of buying this fucking thing. But the more I looked at the photos, the more I was like, I have to. I was like, I fucking have to. I have to buy this fucking thing. Pay $300, 21 individual Polly Pocket listings, like I said. And the photo that convinced me was the very last photo. And it was a trinket box full of minifigures, like completely full. We had the houses, we had the compacts. We had over probably 30 minifigures, and I thought, oh God, if these are complete, I'm going to make so much money. And I'm saying that like oh, for fuck's sake. Like, I'm saying that like I don't want to, but my brain is like, Matt, if you buy this, you're going to make a ton of money. And I'm like, oh, I know, but I don't want to. Why can't anyone else take this and just send me through a message being like, look, Matt, look what I got. I got some Polly Pockets. You know what? I'd say congratulations. You're going to make a ton of money. But no. But fucking no. I had to go out. I had to go out there. I had to get it. I had to meet the lady. I had to fucking pay $300 in cash because people don't like dealing with transfer. They fucking forced me to go to an ATM. But I went out there, paid the money, and she said to me, she said that she was getting abused on Facebook Marketplace. Somebody was abusing her. Now, if that was one of you, I do not condone that, but she said after she had marked it as pending, you know, I told her to mark it as pending because of these fucking crazy people on Marketplace. She said somebody was saying, like, fuck this guy off, give it to me. She was sending through abusive messages to the point where this seller had to fucking block her. Had to block this bitch because she was just abusing her for not getting a deal. So I apologize on behalf of you to this lady and, you know, exchanged the money, got the things, brought them back home. And, you know, she said to me at the time that she started to put them together, like the little pieces with the houses, but eventually just gave up. And that's what people do when they're selling these vintage Polly Pockets. They can't be bothered to put them together, to piece them together, because it takes a bit of work, you know, Google Lens or just Googling or using Polly Pocket websites to find which piece goes to which place. But I find it fucking easy. It just takes a bit of time. So that's the reason we're able to get it cheap, because she didn't know or she didn't want to be dealing with that. And she even mentioned when I was there about looking at eBay sold comps. She was like, I'm learning about this stuff, but she just didn't have the time or didn't have the patience to do it. So that's fine. We will take it. And look, people get excited about Nintendo 64 games. Look, I did too. I spent $65 for how many? 11 games, $5 each. The average listing price for those 64 games, which all of these fucking resellers would be looking for on Marketplace, is what? Like, if we take out the $200 game, it might be sitting around like $30-$40 average sale price. The average sale price, the average listing price of these 21 Polly Pocket play sets is $96.65. So basically the average listing price is $100 for each of these fucking things. It's like buying like Nintendo 64 games, 21 of them, and each one's worth $100. Yeah, so if you do the maths, we got about $2,100 worth of listing price for these fucking Polly Pockets that we spent $300 for. So it's going to be $300 into over $2,000. And this thing was still sitting there after 2 to 3 hours. And nobody fucking took them up, except for that one person that was a bit late and then felt the need to abuse her. So, like, I don't understand what people are doing if they're not buying this shit. I've said this is now the third bundle that I've bought. I've easily made my money back. I've made thousands of dollars on this shit. And nobody is buying them. Like, we've sold some of these things already. We've made our money back already. So I don't understand. I mean, the real answer is that I don't have a big enough platform for people to be buying it. Like, it's not that many people that listen or watch or read. So, yeah, I mean, fucking 21 playsets at a $96.65 average sale price. Like, fucking hell, man. One of those little figures, there was a single figure in there, like, that didn't come with a house, didn't come with a compact, just this 2-centimeter figure that we listed up. When I say we listed up, I fucking did it, just me. I listed up and it sold, just this one little figure, for more than like fucking Mario Kart and GoldenEye on 64 combined sells for, just for this one little figure, and it sold same day, just for this fucking Polly Pocket. So I say this to you with the most love, please, for the love of Christ, start buying these fucking things so I don't have to. I'm not kidding. One of the biggest collections in Sydney, I bet I have I have one of the biggest collections in Sydney. They're dwindling down, you know. One goes out at least once a week, if not two. And when people buy them, they sometimes buy them in multiples. But biggest fucking collection here, man. I think I'll eventually get sick of them. I mean, I'm sick of them now, but I'll get sick of them to a point where I just won't buy them anymore. Just like that fucking Thomas and Friends thing. So yeah, we had that. I mean, just add up all this fucking success that we've had in buying shit this week, and we've spent, I mean, maybe $500, and the return would probably be in the, it would be like $3,000-$4,000, I think. Anyway, one other thing, or maybe a couple other things that I bought. I was in Vinny's, and they've been putting out these tables and these racks of toys, and most of the time it's all shit, but I came across these Batman action figures that were still factory sealed. And I could see on the graphics on the top of it that, you know, the logo was quite old. I turned over and I can see on the back the Kenner logo. I'm like, that's unusual to see here in Australia. These things were from 1998. There was two Batman figures. There was a Batman called the, well, the branding was Batman Night Force Ninjas. One of them was a Fist Fury Batman. I think when you like twist his legs or something, he like moves his fists. And there was another one, which was a villain called Tail Whip Killer Croc. So both from 98, both of them had $15 price tags on them. And I'm thinking like, look, this is quite high for a Vinny's. They must have looked them up. They're probably worth around, you know, if they list up for $15, it might be worth around $20, $25 on eBay. So I looked them up on eBay. And when you type in the name of them, that's sort of what comes up on eBay. You know, the Killer Croc comes out for $15 loose. If you see him in the packaging, about $25. But the thing is, we do comp research better than Vinny's, because we know what we're doing. We know how to use the eBay app. They were looking at America. These are American prices. There is absolutely no active listings within Australia for these figures. So when you search from highest to lowest, no, sorry, when you search from lowest to highest and you include the shipping price, you know, I don't usually do this because, I mean, the results can vary in terms of like popularity, all that sort of bullshit. But the cheapest that you can get it here in Australia is via America, and it's quite expensive. You know, you'll be paying up. So I thought, well, with that information in mind, let's buy these figures for $15 each, and we can list them for $99.95. So we paid $30 for both, and we should hopefully get $200 out of them. I'm thinking that, like, because they're not that common in this island nation of ours, it might sell quickly. I mean, it hasn't sold yet, but it's just before Christmas time, and one of the items that sell quickly on my eBay is brand new stuff. So who knows? Now, we have a couple of other things that we bought this week. I mean, we really did have good luck. We had a retro jersey that was bought for $15, and it sold like the same day. We had a fucking jersey that had the GPS pouch in it that we paid $15 for, listed up for $100. We had another jersey. I mean, we had a lot of jerseys. If you want to see the photos of those, including conversations with people on Marketplace and eBay, just to check out what they look like. I mean, that South Sydney Rabbitohs jersey that sold same day was a retro jersey from, what was it, 1989? And when I saw it, I almost shit my pants because I thought, holy shit, a 1989 jersey, this is worth hundreds and hundreds of dollars. But it was one of those retro reproduction ones, so it wasn't worth as much, but still, sold same day and we made a ton of money. So yeah, we have a couple other things like that. If you want to check them out, flipweekly.com. And I think we should just move on to what we sold. All right, let's see what we've got here. We're going to start off with the reason the eBay seller from last week got so angry. It's because I picked up a Canon camera. It was a Canon PowerShot S200. The numbers don't have to mean anything to you, but I found it for $60 on Marketplace. It has sold in a week for $400. You'll remember that guy sent me through the eBay messages and he was a bit upset for missing out on this deal. And I don't blame him. I mean, these cameras, they sell for a lot of money. They sell quickly. The specific camera, like when I felt it, it felt very like schmick. It felt high quality. It had barely been used. And I don't know much about cameras, but people make a lot of money reselling them. There's a few brands that I always seemingly get fed on Marketplace, and they're the Nikon Coolpix and the Canon PowerShot. they're two on Marketplace that if you see them for anything less than $100, you can usually make money on them. If they're $50, you're pretty much guaranteed to make money on them, providing that they work. I don't know anything about cameras. I've said this seconds ago, but I don't know anything about them. I just know they sell quickly. And look, I don't fuck around with the film cameras. They're too hard to know if they're fully working. You usually have to test them out with the film, and most resellers don't do that. So the point and shoot digital cameras are where they're at. Just make sure they have a charger, a battery, because if they don't have that, it's going to, look, it's going to cost money to, I mean, obviously it's going to cost money to buy that shit, but it's also going to cost you time. And in most cases, the battery and the charger are going to run you. Like if you're buying it within Australia, I use a website called Better Bat. It's like $15, $20 each. So you're in for an extra $50 if you don't have those things. So yeah, that was 60 into 400 in just a week. And the next thing that sold, it was something that looks like it could be bought off fucking Temu for a couple of dollars, but it's not. It's something called a brick game. Now, I had one of these as a kid, or should I say my father had one of these as a kid. I found it in a Save the Children op shop, and it's a handheld device, and you play Tetris on it. That's all you do. It was released in the 90s. It was released at the same time, I think, as like the Nintendo Game Boy. And obviously the Game Boy, you had the cartridges. You could play all different games. This game, this brick game, this brick Tetris game, you could only play fucking Tetris on it. It sold for $79.95. So it was $5 into $80. If you find these in op shops, you are wanting the brick game that is just by itself, okay? You're not wanting like the... They came out with different versions, like they adapted. They realized people don't just want to play fucking Tetris. So they had like a two-in-one that came afterwards where you could play two games, you know? Fuck, they developed quickly, didn't they? They went from one game to two game. So they did that. And then they went to like 100-in-1, then like 1,000-in-1. The more games you have in these old school brick devices, the less they're worth. You can go onto eBay right now and buy like one of those 1,000-in-1s for like $10. You're wanting the earlier version. You're wanting the one that's just Tetris. The less games, the better when it comes to these old devices, because it means they're older and it means they're more rare, not so much sought after, but because, I mean, this one didn't sell that quickly. I bought it sometime this year. I bought it because I just thought it was fucking cool and it came in its original box. But yeah, if you find these out in the wild, buy them, and you want the ones with barely any games on them. Now, something that also didn't sell quickly was a Lord of the Rings BBC audiobook collector's edition trilogy. Now look, this is the Lord of the Rings trilogy on audiobook CD. It's within a metal case shaped like the One Ring. I saw it I think it was a Save the Children's op shop too. Bought it for $12. It sold for $80. Surprised that it took so long. And look, I looked onto eBay to see what the sell-through rate is on this sort of stuff, and Lord of the Rings audiobook sits at 48%, so basically 50%, which indicates a sale should happen within 180 days, but it didn't. I bought this in 2024, so this was a long fucking time ago, and it's just sat there, which is unusual, because Lord of the Rings usually sells quickly, especially something you can't find everywhere, and this was quite rare. It came in its original box. It had like a fucking million CDs because Lord of the Rings are so fucking long. But yeah, it just didn't sell. But here's what I'm thinking. I think if I took it down, relisted it, gave it a bit of breathing time, I think it would have sold. I think it just sat there for so long that nobody just bit the bullet. You know what I mean? So if I found it again, I would probably buy it. And just to see, you know, because Lord of the Rings is so fucking popular and it's an audiobook, so yeah, it's cool. It came in a cool case. If you want to see the photo, flipweekly.com. I'm sure you understand and know to do that by now. But look, the next thing, oh my God, just seeing this makes my fucking bones shiver. It's a DVD. It's one of those DVDs that I got really embarrassed to buy. I'm going to tell you the name of it, and then I'll tell you what it sold for and why I was embarrassed. It was called, I'm going to butcher this, it's called Yo Sugar No Sora. Yo Sugar No Sora. It was a complete collection, DVD, region 1. Bought it for $3 in a Vinnies. The front cover looks innocent enough. It's anime. It looks like, you know, just a couple of anime kids. And I thought that was fine. The back of this fucking thing is what made me embarrassed to buy it. It has pictures of, man, like, chicks in bikinis. There's a photo of a chick. It's like on the ground, bent over with her ass in the air, wearing, I don't know, wearing like a bikini. There's chicks with big boobs, all flashing, like not actually flashing, but like the images are there on the back because of the big boobs. You know what I mean? Anyway, you just know. Look, here's what I was thinking. Here's why I was embarrassed to buy it in Vinnies, because the price tag on Vinnies is usually quite small, right? And let's just say that the people at the checkouts, they don't have the best vision. So when you go to the counter, at least I do, I point out exactly where the price tag is. And, you know, in most cases, I would say like over 50% of the time, I'll point to where the price tag is and they'll still like fumble with this thing looking for it. So I thought they're going to be squinting, looking hard. They're going to look at this fucking DVD and see on the back, you know, anime people bending over, showing their tits. And they're going to look up at me. And they're going to be thinking, I don't know, what would you think? Like, you're a weird person. Why are you buying this? You know, they like to make comments on things that you're buying. That's why I was embarrassed. I was holding it close to my chest, and I don't think anything happened. I got out of there quickly, but you just know. I just know my fucking luck. Somebody would make a comment like, ooh, this is risque. What am I supposed to say to that? Like, yeah. Like, what am I supposed to say? I'm just going to say, enjoy. I'll be like, I will. It's fucking gross, man. I don't understand this sort of shit. I think I'm too old for this shit. Anyway, next thing that sold was one of the Nintendo GameCube games that I bought in a bundle. I bought each one for $10. It sold for $40. It was called Pikmin. I think it was number one or number two. No, it was the original Pikmin. Never played it. I never had a GameCube as a kid. I think that's almost all the GameCube games that have sold. They've sold at around one per week. Not crazy sell-through rates to justify the amount of hype there is for GameCube games. But yeah, I mean, if I find more GameCube, I'll definitely buy it. But look, here is something that you need to be buying. It's an easy set of book titles that you can find. I found a set of eight and they have sold for a lot of money. It is Asterix. I've talked about Asterix before. Asterix and Obelix. Old school comic books. These were the pocket books. I paid $2 per book. So I bought eight, $16. They sold for $100. So that's just a set of eight little comic books that have sold for $100. You can usually find them in thrift stores for like $1 a book, I guess. I mean, I paid $2 for these ones, but you can usually find them quite cheap. People don't value them, but collectors and nostalgia heads, they buy them on eBay all the time. Now, I posted this on Instagram the other week. I literally posted it yesterday. It's a concert t-shirt. I don't find many concert t-shirts that are valuable. Yeah, that are valuable. I have to add that on because I find a ton of concert t-shirts. I've realized that not many are worth picking up and buying. Everyone talks about concert t-shirts, but they're just not worth it and they don't sell. I actually have a Garth Brooks. I think it's a 90s Garth Brooks that I've had for fucking ever that hasn't sold. I was excited to find it because I was like, oh, vintage Garth Brooks. I assume people like Garth Brooks. was that rumor that fucking Tom Segura spread around, or that Garth Brooks murders people? Or like, what was that? But that didn't sell. So this sold. It was a Kanye West Yeezus t-shirt from 2014. Bought for $12 in a Lifeline. Sold for $150 fucking dollars. But yeah, like I said, I don't find many concert t-shirts. Yeezus, Kanye West, all of his shit seems to go well. Same with like people like Eminem. They have a big fan base. Does Kanye West still have a big fan base now? Has he said enough shit that people have gone off him? I don't know. Next thing that sold was also another $100 sale. Found it in the garage sale trails, a box set of DVDs of Ultimate Spider-Man. And this was a garage sale where everything was priced so fucking high. The video games that this guy had were all eBay prices down to the fucking cent. And yet this box set of DVDs was $5. and it's worth $100. So that was a good buy, $100 out of that garage sale. Now, in terms of those Polly Pockets that I picked up this week, we did sell some. We sold the single figure, the single Polly Pocket pop-up. Oh my God, this is a fucking tongue twister. Polly Pocket pop-up seashells doll, just the doll from 1992. I had that listed on eBay for $100. I also put it on Marketplace. Somebody offered me $50 the day that I put it up, and I was like, fuck it, let's do it. So I got $50 just for the one little doll. And I was able to find like the set that she belonged to. And that fucking set, you know, if you had the little lipstick container, that's what it looks like. She belongs into like this little lipstick. It's called pop-up seashell. And just think, like, lipstick pop-up, twist the bottom and she comes up out of it. That's worth $850 on eBay right now, man. I wish I fucking had that. But yeah, they just look like lipstick containers. And yeah, when you push them up, fucking Polly Pocket appears. So just that doll has sold for $50. I probably accepted that 50 too quickly. Look, it's $50. There's another one that sold, which was Polly Pocket in the Nursery. It was complete with three figures. It was one of the compacts. That has sold for $100 on eBay, despite my poor photography. Another one that sold was Polly Pocket Lil Pet Carts. It's Polly Pocket pulling, oh, so many P's. Polly Pocket pulling these set of three animals on carts. That sold for $60. That's out the door. And another Polly Pocket that sold, oh, fucking hell, was the Polly Pocket Pizzeria Pizza Parlor. I'm just thinking, man, this when recording this podcast, the gain on the microphone, always have trouble with it. And peas are the worst, so thank you. That sold for $100. So that's the Polly Pocket sales that I've had this week. They probably equal over $300, so pretty much made our money back. We also had some Nintendo 64 sales from that bundle that we picked up for $5 each. We had 007 5 into 50. We had Perfect Dark 5 into 30 on Facebook Marketplace. That was the guy that wouldn't buy it with the texture on it, so I removed it with the pink stuff. Now, if you want to see those pictures, go onto flipweekly.com. You can see that and a couple other sales, including some old nostalgia things that I picked up just because I had them when I was a kid and I figured, you know, somebody else would want them. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for Thriftmas. It is time to announce the winner of Thriftmas Week 2, which was the 1995 factory sealed Polly Pocket worth somewhere between $250 to $500 depending on what you decide to list it up for. I'm just assuming you're going to sell it, not keep it. So we had a lot of entries. We had entries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. And last week, the winner was from Instagram. And this week, the winner is from Facebook. And the person's name is Aisha Cross, or Aisha Cross. Congratulations. Please get in touch with us and I will have that shipped out to you. It should be with you before Christmas time, providing you're within Australia. But now, look, we have another giveaway. We have this week's giveaway, Thriftmas Week 3, the ending of Thriftmas. The prize for this week, look, we've had a lot of luck with video games over this past year. Week 2 was Polly Pocket. We've done really well with Polly Pocket. Week 1 was a Vinny's gift card. Obviously, we do well with Vinny's. So this week, it's video game related. Now, I'm not going to pull out a console or a game within my storage containers that hasn't sold. I also don't really like the idea of giving away something that is used, even though like a Nintendo 64 game would be cool to do. So I decided that the prize for this week, it will be a Lego Super Mario Game Boy. Now, this is Lego number 72046. It is the set where you can build the original OG Game Boy, and I think it comes with a couple of cartridges within the box too. It has over 400 pieces. It looks really fucking cool. I think if you're going to keep it, it's a display piece because it comes with a display stand. You can also sell it. You would be able to get over $100 for this on eBay. So just like last week, the way to enter is going to be very easy. All you have to do is jump onto social media, make sure you're following Flip Weekly, like the post on Instagram, on Facebook, and like the podcast episode on YouTube. you can comment, you can tag a friend, and you get an additional entry per tagged friend. Obviously, the more entries you have, the greater chance you have of winning this Lego piece. It's a really cool piece. I think you'd be able to sell it quickly. I mean, it's factory sealed Lego, right? So the winner will be announced on next week's issue of Flip Weekly and in next week's podcast. It comes out on December 25th. So you'll most likely not hear it. So, you know, just make sure you're checking up on the newsletter. I'll have the winner in there. If you don't want to listen to a full podcast episode on Christmas Day, I don't blame you. But look, all I need you to do now, if you're listening to this on Spotify, is give us a rating on Spotify. If you're listening to this on YouTube, like, comment, and subscribe. Any other podcast platform, please rate us. I think it would help within the algorithm. All that's left to say is have a Merry Christmas. Have a great Christmas. I hope you're able to see friends and family. I'll be traveling on Christmas Day. So if you're traveling, be safe. Be safe on the roads. Be safe on the planes. Enjoy the Christmas ham. Don't Google Lens your presents. Don't resell your presents. And I'll see you again next week. Thanks for listening.
Flip, 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 flip weekly.